By the way, Ben, be happy because I have another buddy of mine who's a pizza delivery guy, and he got robbed by gunpoint this past weekend.
Oh, that'll make you feel better about your job.
Yeah, I feel so good about delivering pizza now.
Well, like, is your neighborhood, like, safe?
No.
Is there a lot of guns? As you're in Virginia, that goes
there are a
safe.
Lot of yeah. guns.
there's a couple guns.
Have you thought about carrying your own gun?
That what would do you be believe? Fired, but maybe.
What's your thought in firearms in general?
I don't know how to fire one.
But are you a pro or against people having them?
Yeah. That's what I'd like to know.
I don't really care. I mean,
it's the Ben Carrington political like... views hour.
That's how we usually start the show off, Anthony. We ask yeah. Ben a very important political topic. And then pro-life, Ben?
Yeah.
Isn't women different indeed?
Women are
isn't
different.
Isn't women different?
How are Babby formed anyway?
All right. Let's start this off. Okay. Hello. Welcome. This is the Fan Gamer Podcast. This is episode number, 115. Dang. Feels like just yesterday. Episode 100. And then just, 90 episodes before that, we were talking about video game music for like an hour and a half. That said, my name is Garrett Rosa. I'm your host. With me today, we have a special guest. But before I introduce him...
Me!
Let me introduce Ben. Ben, hi.
Hi.
What's your shirt say today?
My shirt says anti-internet, because I hate the internet. It's from Nope Clothing.
Speaking of the internet, they're here watching us live on twitch.tv/fangamer.
Great timing, Ben.
Oh, yeah. Great. If you want to watch the live show...
That makes it a little awkward. Sorry, internet.
We try and do the live show around 5:30 Pacific on Mondays. That's if we're on our A game, usually. Also, illustrious co-host Matt Hawkins, also wearing a black shirt with white text in Helvetica, yes. I think.
It's my BitShifter Giant Sounds from Small Machine shirt, available at bitshifter.net. How's everyone
Sponsor
doing?
Of the show.
That's good.
Also, special guest host talked about today with us why girls are different. I mean, no. To talk to us about what his three desert island video games are. Anthony Birch, everyone.
Hello.
Standing O, buddy.
Anthony!
You've never been on our show before, but you have your own podcast that maybe our listeners have listened to. Tell us about it.
Actually, I don't know what it's called. I can't remember what the official name we put on the URL was. It's either the Hopcast, because my show is called
Hopcast.
The Ashwich Plane, which is Hop for short. Yeah, okay, it is called the Hopcast. I thought it might have been called the Hey Ashwich Podcast, but it's not that anymore.
I think you guys referred to it as that at first, and then you're like, that's kind of a bad name.
Yeah. I think Hopcast is still a pretty bad name, too, but we just found
good.
A different bad way. But Mevio deleted us, so you won't be able to find it right now, so yeah. Find that on nowhere right now.
Yeah.
I plugged a non-existent thing.
We'll put that in the show notes. Well, there's a show that you're involved with, I suppose they could go find if they want.
Oh, yeah. If you go to heyash.com, that is the website for the show that I co-direct and write and star in called Hey Ash, What You Playing? With my sister Ashley Birch and my friend Justin Njelmo.
So it's our first question from the audience, who's me. Is what is the most like yelled out line you get when people like you meet fans at PAX and they quote something from the show at you? What is
that?
Is that
a question you really need to ask?
I just want to know from his perspective what it is.
Well, if I'm alone, nobody says shit because I don't have like
you have the entourage. They don't know who that guy is.
Yeah. I mean, I if they do recognize me, I'm the straight man character. I don't have anything interesting to say usually because it's just
they don't go
for Ash to bounce
hey,
off.
Anthony, what are you playing?
once.
I mean, I did that earlier.
And it was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. No, usually it's I'm walking with Ash and somebody goes, "Hey Ash, what you playing?" And she doesn't have any fucking idea what to say back.
Oh,
so
that's
our response awkward. Is just to stand there awkwardly and be like, "Hey, is the name of the show we do?
I'm playing the walking game."
Yeah,
I'm playing the please don't murder me.
To find a
iPhone game. You know, it's one of those alternate reality games that checks who you are. Okay, so other things to say about Anthony. Well, I know that you work for an interesting employer. I don't know how much you can speak about it, but I don't want to say anything to get in trouble, but what do you do with your day job?
I am a writer at Gearbox Software, and I am writing Borderlands 2 currently.
What?
the author of Borderlands.
So were you involved with Borderlands 1, or you came in on the second one?
I came in just for Borderlands 2. I had no connection to Gearbox or anything like that for Borderlands 1, but I met Mikey Newman, who is the... I don't remember what his title is. He's Mikey Newman, and he works at Gearbox, and we met at GDC or something like that, and somehow they were like, hey, this guy does, like, halfway decent two-minute short films that are mainly about poop. Let's give him
That's
the
what
reins.
We need in our first-person shooter
yeah,
MMO.
Yeah, let's give him the reins to a 40-hour-long first-person shooter. That is the most important franchise that Gearbox currently has.
So is that
Let's
really
that.
Your only writing credit that got you the job, or had you done other things?
That's really it.
It had nothing to do with, like, your reverence and stuff like that?
Nothing. Nothing at
really?
All.
Really?
Take that, well, all you writers out there.
It had nothing to do
there.
With your actual speech on the game industry that got you into the game industry.
No, not at all. I think it was... No. I think because most of that stuff was really vitriolic and very oversimplified, so it's probably a plus that they didn't see that stuff. But it just came from,
hopefully
my understanding
not
was
listening
that it just
to
came
this
from,
part and they changed their mind.
Yeah, could be.
So basically, a lot of people who listen to this are going to change their LinkedIns to, like, okay, let's get rid of all the resume stuff, and I made films about duty and caca and pee-pee and poo-poo.
And that's a YouTube video.
That's kind of the way
and
to
now
do
I'm
it,
making
as far as my history goes.
Okay, so that's how it works.
That's pretty much how it works, definitely. Oh,
that's the real story.
It's a wonderful story.
It's a story of hope.
Well,
and poop jokes.
Let's see. Well, you know what we usually do, despite how ironic it'll seem, we talk about what games we've been playing lately, and I think it seems most appropriate to start with you, Anthony. What have you been playing?
I've been playing Chrono Trigger because
really?
I've never beaten it, and about once every like
man,
year,
either.
I'm like, I will actually try to sit down and beat it because I don't like JRPGs, but I keep hearing that Chrono Trigger.
Man, me too, Anthony. have you tried playing Persona? Persona 3.
I have. I tried to play Persona 4 about 4 different times.
How far through have you gotten? I'm just curious, because I'm trying to get through that myself for, like, the same reasons. People say,
first
oh, it's so good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The first time I got through, it was about 10, 15 hours, something like that.
That's
and
good.
Then
good effort.
I lost all my save data and had to go and restart on another PS2, and which was not a big deal because I was enjoying myself. But I had, like, learned all this stuff about how the combat system worked. I was like, yay, mm-hmm. Now that I'm smart, it'll be like, you know, Demon Souls or Dark Souls, where I can actually just use my skill and accumulated knowledge to
sure.
get through really quickly.
Nah.
But I just had to grind for a really long time. I was like, oh, this is a bad game. How stupid of me.
Oh, hey, it's not a bad
game.
But he does bring up some
it's
points.
It's the dubstep
playing,
of games.
I've been playing through that too, and... I like it's a love-hate thing. Like, sometimes I love certain aspects of it, and other times I'm like, oh, you were still no better than a lot of JRPGs, which the grindiness
oh, yeah.
and that sort of thing.
Well, I've tried to, every once in a while, I'll try to, like, convince myself to like JRPGs, and I usually that happens with me trying to play Chrono Trigger and Persona, and I played Persona 4, like, 6 months ago, being like, ah, maybe I was wrong about it,
mm-hmm.
and I was not wrong about it. Because you have to, I timed it, you have to sit through 3 hours of cutscenes or really strictly you know regulated linear gameplay before you can get to the actual game of balancing your time at the school with
yeah.
the time in the roguelike area, and it was just like Jesus Christ. You could watch The Godfather in the time it takes to get to the actual game that is Persona 4,
yeah.
and that's like so beyond unforgivable to me.
So wait, have you? You're saying you're playing Chrono Trigger, and you've never beaten it before. How far have you gotten in it? Because I've kind of the similar scenario. I've gotten all the way to the end and kind of just lost.
Oh, I never interest. Got that far. Previously, it was just I would get to, like, just after you meet Frog or something like really early in and be like, yeah, I'm totally going to finish. Yeah, it's like an hour. It's something atrocious like that. And then I'll just go, I'll finish it later. And I just never do. But now I've come up with a good system, which is just to bind the left bumper and right bumper of my Xbox USB controller to fast forward. So all the battles are like four times as fast and four times as enjoyable because the vast majority of them are just attack, 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 yeah. attack over and over again. I'm enjoying it way, way more this way. And I'm actually think I'm going to beat it this time.
So you're playing on an emulator then? I was to say,
yes.
I was playing on DS. It was fun there, the portability of it, but having the ability to skip through combat. Although I found Chrono Trigger's combat to be pretty palatable in the JRPG realm.
Yeah, yeah, it's not bad. It's definitely not as grindy as other JRPGs I've played.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Anthony, I got to ask, have you ever played Earthbound? Have you ever played Mother?
I have. I've tried a couple times, and I'm worried that I just got to it too late in my life. Because I talked to my friend Aaron Lindy about it a lot, and he says that for him it was the perfect game of, like, you know, being 10 or 8 or something like that. And, you know, it's a game about sort of seeing the world from the perspective of kids, and everything's kind of innocent and cool, but also a little bit surreal. And now when I play it, I'm just like, I don't understand. Is this a comedy or a drama? Blah, blah, blah. And it just sort of bounces off me, and I feel stupid. It's my fault, not the game's. Like, don't get me wrong.
Oh, man, it's interesting, because Chrono Trigger and Earthbound are two of, like, the staples of the Fangamer repertoire.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
And I feel Matt like a phony has already let podcast. Us know how he feels about Earthbound.
Yeah, my attitude towards Earthbound is I haven't really given it a proper chance. Though
but
I
you
find
might be in that same boat, though. You might have. It might be too late for you to get the, you know, get hooked
Well,
on
if
it.
I can appreciate Persona 4... I don't think
one of Matt's favorite games.
Anyways, we'll get to that a bit later, maybe.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. What else? Ben, what have you been doing? What you been playing?
I started playing Kid Icarus Uprising on 3DS because that came out.
Tell me more about this because I know nothing about it.
It is a really interesting game. Like, ooh. I hesitate to call it all that great because I was listening to the Vox Games podcast, The Besties. And
Besties!
Griffin McElroy.
I started listening to that based on your recommendation. Great idea for a show.
Absolutely. And Griffin McElroy describes it as having a loving curve. And that when you start playing it, like, it's hard to like it just because the control scheme is weird. Like, I wouldn't say it's bad, it's just very strange, and, like, it takes a while for it to click, and once it does click, like, you get it, and it's fun, but it just takes that minute to get there.
Okay.
But, like, once you actually get in there, it's a really, really cool game. Like, there's a lot of content in that cartridge. Like, one thing I really like about Sakurai, the guy who worked on this game, is that seemingly every game he's ever worked on has, like, the dopest menu. Like, if you've ever played, like Super Smash Bros. Brawl, or, yeah, like, the graphic design, just the interface of it. Like, if you've ever played, like, Kirby's Air Ride or Meteos, like, they all have, like, really amazing, like, presentation.
Good UI.
And it just makes me feel, like, super good to just dick around in menus and not actually play the game, which...
Oh, no. I don't know if that's a good indication of a quality game, but I get what you're saying. Like, when the quality of it is even... you can see that in the menus. That's usually a good
thing. Yeah, it's enjoyable all around.
Good interface design really can make an awesome game like a billion times better. Like just sitting in the option screen listening to the idle music. And for like Super Smash Brothers, it's really important because there's a lot of times where people are trying to figure out controllers, who they're going to choose. So you need some background noise that's really good or
to get
sexy
amped
looking. Yeah.
About being Pikachu.
Exactly.
Basically.
I hated Pikachu.
I mean, you have to be amped about being Pikachu.
I was always Mario. Fox.
But yeah, like, the game, like, the writing is really good. It's, like, really funny, which is kind of weird for a Nintendo game. Like, it's not funny in, like, the sort of classic,
like,
kind of
poking fun
way.
At itself
just,
funny, or, like...
Yeah, it pokes a bit of fun at itself. It's, like, very self-aware. It's just clever. I like it. It's
what
good.
About 3D? Have they been using that in any interesting ways?
I mean, it looks really good.
It looks good, but they're not, like, do anything with the 3D.
Not necessarily, other than... Okay. Spatial awareness. Or
whoa!
Whatever it's supposed to be.
Okay. Okay. So, how many hours you put into it so far?
I'd say like a couple at most. Like not too much.
But you're enjoying it so far.
I've been watching a lot of Game Center CX recently.
Oh my god! Best show ever.
Best show ever. Right. Like right after finishing like Firefly last week too, which was a trip.
Oh no! And then you're like everyone is like sad. Like it's over.
Well, I still have the comics to read, so not too sad.
You watched Serenity, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
The comics were okay, right? I think I read those.
They're not bad.
They're okay.
They're definitely better than, like, the Buffy comics.
Oh, yeah.
I sold about, yeah. Anyway, before you don't want to get into comics, what I want to ask you though, Ben, having seen it, tell us, like, what do you think? Who were some of your favorite characters, storylines, anything? I mean, I love Firefly. It's a great series.
God, that's a really hard question.
So like, tell me, favorite characters.
So good.
Give me a couple. Or maybe who didn't you like? Someone you're like, oh, that guy could have died.
Who didn't I like? Nobody. This isn't a question.
Really? Yeah. What's her name? The space prostitute?
I think, like, I feel like she, like, the series needed more time for her to be better. But,
yes,
like, I
totally.
Think, like, she had, like, her and, like, Mal had, like, complicated feelings. And, like, I really liked that in the end. Like, they were never really resolved. Like, I don't think they should have been.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Everything's just so good. Joss Whedon writes really good characters, okay? I don't hate any of them. I love them all. They're babies.
I really like how that series ended, even though they didn't really kind of plan it to end. That episode does feel kind of like a nice kind of wrap it up a little bit. Just kind of they talk about the ship and the life of it, and that was kind of nice. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got to watch it. Is there any other shows on your I need to watch docket besides Firefly? I feel like there's probably a lot on there.
I mean, now after I finished Firefly, I want to watch Buffy just because I'm sad that Firefly's gone.
I used to really like Buffy, and it does not age well.
Really? I watched it for the first time like 6 months ago. And it was
which season
awesome.
Did you start with? Did you start with one?
I started with one, and that is the worst thing
right?
that has ever
like,
happened
it's
to TV.
Pretty rough. And I think that's. I think it hits its stride like most shows, like in two and a half, three. Is where.
Oh yeah, three. Season three's finale is like one of my favorite finales in TV ever.
And then it kind of like goes forward, then down, and then kind of back up, and kind of redeems itself at the end. But yeah, if like. I wish. Can you skip the first season? Is that even possible?
There's some important stuff in the first season.
Yeah, because like there's the whole angel.
Yeah, there's a lot of important stuff in the first season. Unfortunately,
that's like the first television show I bought all the DVDs for back in the day when that became a thing. I have them all somewhere over there. Anyway, okay. Yes. Let's see here. What about you, Matt? How's your week been? What have you been up to? Playing games? In your job writing about games?
Yeah, I've been busy. The only game worth mentioning is Warning. I played Resident
Warning?
Evil. I played Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. The game sucks. Don't buy it. You know, everyone says it sucks, but
let me write that down on my notes here. Don't buy it.
Exactly. Okay. So that's the only real new game that I played this week. The two highlights.
Dude. I got to play Journey. Did I tell you this?
Oh, no.
I played because you're the one who told me all about Journey. Anthony, have you played Journey? Yeah?
Kind of. My sister was at my place, and she doesn't have a PS3. She's like, well, this is going to be a learning chance to actually play the friggin' game, so you might as well do it. So I got to sit there and watch her play it, only to realize that the entire point of the game is to like
be the one
playing and to like try to figure out how to communicate with the stranger online, and all the magic was pretty much lost on me. So I was like, that was pretty, I guess. And
Ben, have you got to try it yet?
The PSN thing, but Anthony, like, do you think like sucks. That's ruined like your potential to ever want to play it?
Basically, because I tried to go back and play it, and I was like, oh, this is just a bunch of levels I've sort of already seen.
Yeah, I don't feel that it has that replayability that people talk about. I kind of agree with what you were saying originally, Matt, that it's very much a experience. And so if you weren't the one in the driver's seat, I can definitely see how it would be like, yep, I'm good.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this last time, but I've never been so in love with a game that I have no desire ever to play ever again. You know, I played it once. It was great. And again, I'll play it for people who are new to video games. Like, oh, this is a great... See, video games. This is a great example of it being different. But otherwise, I'm not going to play it. And also, by the way, I had a conversation with a friend of mine during dinner. Sort of the same argument that we had, or discussion last time, where because I didn't cry at the end, someone thought that I didn't get the game, which I thought is, like, completely ridiculous.
That's kind of how I felt. I'm like, I didn't get the big whatever it was that everyone's like, this is the best thing ever. Oh my gosh. I'm like, this is beautiful, but I didn't really feel it was any. It was the next step for somebody who had done Flower and Flow. This felt like the next evolution for that kind of company, but I didn't get the tearing up situation at all.
I don't think you have to. I mean, this other person was very succinct. I'm like, yeah, I think you missed something. And I'm like, I think you're drinking Kool-Aid now, brother. Because honestly, it's like, can't I enjoy it without having this, like, give me a break. So
I think I might have mentioned the guy who I played it with at the very end, like the most meaningful part to have a guy was like being really not good at games. And so I kind of left him for dead. And was on my own. So,
and when you beat it and you saw the scroll where you see all the names of the
people. Oh, the people?
Was his name Buttguts 2000 or something?
No.
Buttguts.
He was, I don't remember. None of them had really atrocious names, so that was fine.
So the two big things is I saw Tim Schafer speak at NYU. He did a presentation.
Yeah, I read about that.
And it was really awesome.
What did he talk about?
Well, it was two things primarily. First, it was a Q&A where he basically answered a lot of questions about his thoughts and insights and philosophies about video games. And because the audience was mostly people in NYU studying game design, it wasn't the knucklehead Q&A you would normally get at a convention or something like that. Like, people are asking really good, solid questions.
Actual questions.
I was afraid of being that guy to ask him what he thought about the Mass Effect 3 ending controversy.
You were that guy?
No.
You were that guy?
No, someone asked, a student. It's like, so what do you think? And Schafer clearly did not want to really get into it, but he did say, listen, you know, the bottom line is, and it was a really good answer. It's like, that was made by a person. You know, games don't happen by themselves. If this was like a robot or a machine that sort of spat out an unsatisfactory ending, that'd be one thing. But a real author thought of this ending and had a vision, and he pretty much said that people reacting so negatively is a tad bit disrespectful. You know, you have to understand, have to appreciate it. So I thought that was a really good, articulate answer. I wanted to write a whole thing for my site, but I was sitting too far away, and all I could record was myself laughing at all his jokes. Like, he was hilarious, but
he's a funny man.
He's a funny guy. But the other part, which was the more fascinating, was he brought in a prototype for a Kinect game that him and his studio had been developing for a client, which never came to market. And it's essentially, again, it's hard to explain, but it's an adventure game using completely gestures. So instead of like a traditional adventure game where you...
That's what the new Fable's supposed to be.
Yeah. Instead of pointing to certain words and initiating actions or dialogues, the expression that the player has is conveyed in-game, and it's all based upon very core emotions like love, hate, fear, trust, courage, fear again. So, like, the demo basically had this person trying to get through this environment where... And it's, like, very simple stuff. Like, he has to choose an outfit to wear, but he has to like the outfit, so he has to show an emotion of like, ooh, I like this outfit. But to demonstrate all the different possibilities, you know, you could also be afraid of an outfit or be cynical or, you know, doubtful and stuff like that. And, you know, if he was afraid of an outfit, it was like, and Schafer did all the dialogue within the game, so while Schafer is actually playing the game, you hear his voice from the actual demo unit. So Schafer is pretending to be afraid, and his video game self is saying, oh, I bet someone peed in that wetsuit. You know, just, there's a, you have to sort of, the video is actually, Kotaku recorded most of the presentation, and it's available online. So it's a really good thing. Awesome. So the next big thing is how there's rumors how the big Chinatown arcade here in New York City is actually reopening. So I went to investigate.
What, an arcade opening somewhere, not closing?
Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but there was this big, the last real quote-unquote arcade in New York City was in Chinatown, mm-hmm. but it got shut down last year. And there was it's a big whole thing, but a person took a lot of the popular Street Fighter machines and moved it to Brooklyn to another location. And everyone thought that the original arcade had been, is sort of done. It's out of business. But now, last week, the guy making the Chinatown arcade documentary, who was there just shooting B-roll, he saw them opening the gates and putting brand new machines into the arcade. So everyone got all excited, like, ooh, the Chinatown arcade's opening up again. So I hadn't been in Chinatown for a while, so I decided to stop by and see if I could find anything. And I couldn't. The doors were closed. It was still, you know, whatever's happening behind closed doors. But Chinatown used to be my favorite place because, like, when I came to New York, that was the place to go to get video games, especially import games. This is before the internet, yada, 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 yada. And as years has gone by, the whole place has sort of gone disarray. So I talked to one of the last proprietors of the hardcore import video game shop, and I found out, oh, how's business? Like, yeah, it's okay. Is it because the internet's like, yeah, it's sort of hurt us. So
some
I don't know.
Problems that have always been plaguing the arcades.
You know, and the one thing, like, I used to go there all the time to buy import games, but they don't have them as much anymore. And he actually gave me the reason, which I didn't even realize, about how back in the day, even in the 90s, whenever a game came out in Japan, it took like 6 months for it to come out in America. And that's why people bought the import version, because they have to play that new fighting game or role-playing game, even if they don't understand English. But now, because of the way the economy works, every time a game comes out in Japan, at least a high-profile title, it immediately comes out in America that same exact day, or maybe there's a couple-day difference, which completely diminishes the interest for imports for a lot of different people. So I didn't even realize that. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, why would anyone want to buy the Japanese version of Azura's Wrath when, you know, it just came out? So
right.
So yeah. But, so yeah, okay. That was my week. I don't know if it was too exciting to anyone else, but it was exciting to me.
I think the only thing we already talked about was my stuff. I beat Mass Effect 3, finally.
Yeah.
I'll just say is I think that game. I knew it going into it. Downer of a game. Like, just going in. Like,
wait, so does the ending suck as bad as everyone says it does?
I think if you didn't realize that game was just going to be depressing, like, it's like there's all these different splinter groups who are complaining about the ending, right? One of the arguments is that it's not a happy ending. Really? How naive are you? This is like, this game was not going to end happily. And I know I'm one of those people who doesn't, I don't really go to games to look for that kind of dramatic experience, so I found that off-putting. But that I knew, and yet I kept playing. So I don't take the ending as that is a bad thing. The not wrapping up any of the story thing that people complain about, yeah, there's some definite things they don't talk about. On the other side, though, I listened to some podcasts talking about spoilers, and the experiences that everyone has in the game are so vastly different that I can't say this is a bad game just because of its ending. Like, there's a whole other guy I didn't know I could have in my party that is, like, amazing and has this interesting storyline that, like, develops the game in this whole new direction. And I'm like, what? And so a game that I could play again and have that new of an experience, I don't think there's a lot of saying that it's a terrible game. But
so, way to goof it up, Garrett.
But, like, I don't know. Am I the only one who's thinking, like, maybe the reason they left out a lot of the explanation is just so it could be DLC? Because the very last thing you see after the credits, I kid you not, is a little pop-up window after everything finishes saying, you can continue playing and buy downloadable content to expand your experience. Well, is an ad for Buy More Ovaltine, basically.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of BioWare's DLC initiatives, but that the conspiracy theory, I don't necessarily buy it.
I don't know either, but it just, it's too convenient for me not to realize that could be, you know.
I'm like completely, I've said this last week, but I've been doing more research and writing about the situation. The people behind, no offense to if anyone listening, if you're part of this, but have you been to that Facebook page for Take Back Mass Effect? It is the most douche-chill-inducing thing in the world.
And it got involved with like Child's Play somehow too, right?
Yeah, I just wrote about that.
We should talk about that for the news, month story game news stuff. That's a weird thing that happened.
Well, no. Like, I guess just to jump back into that before we move on. Like, Anthony, I know you guys are, like, big fans of Mass Effect and stuff like that. Like, what did you feel about the game?
I tend to agree with most of the complaints about the ending. I mean, I think what I really wanted out of it was, you know, A, that sense that you got at the end of Mass Effect 2 that all the little decisions you made came into play at some point. I mean, you basically want to see, the whole game's about, in the same way that the whole of Mass Effect 2 was about getting your team together and going on the suicide mission, you kind of wanted the sense of getting all the armies together to take back Earth was going to pay off in the same way. Like, oh, thank God I recruited that army, or, you know, oh, and they're now coming in, I'm seeing the results of my actions. That was the big bummer for me, and then also I really wanted, as much as people shat on Metal Gear Solid 4 for having that 45-minute cutscene at the end, I mean, rightfully so.
Oh, you wanted more, and I don't blame you, because it's just so wanted.
Yeah, I wanted 45 minutes at the end telling me what happened to all of my friends and the decisions that I had made, which I know is super selfish, but it's like, you want that Return of the King, like, kind of thing. I spent literally 10 years...
I wanted the Earthbound ending where you walk around and talk to all your friends. You got to take your girlfriend back to home to her house, all that good stuff. Yeah, but no, I mean, I beat it, and I guess overall, I just felt just depressed. I wasn't satisfied. And this is the first Mass Effect in which there were finally big enough decisions where I was like, oh man, I really regret what I did. And I thought about those decisions for like an hour on one of them, and like I didn't see any way to make that good. And I chose the decision I did, and I felt terrible afterwards in real life. And then
there's some great, great, great moments in Mass Effect 3. I mean, that's the shame is that people wouldn't be complaining about the ending so much if the game itself weren't so freaking good.
Done so good at making you feel like you were making. You're trying to keep the galaxy going, man. You don't want a life to extinguish, and then
so two questions: the previous Mass Effect games, was it at the ending you got the feeling that every little thing counted?
Oh yeah, especially 2, I think, because 2 had
two was the ultimate version.
There was so much you had to do to make like the perfect ending there.
There's
also just simple issues of like workmanship. Like there are suddenly moments where all of your companions disappear and you don't know why, and like there's music missing from certain scenes, and like it just for the last 5 minutes feel like they are just not done in a general sense.
Well, the second question is, so the excuse given was it was, and I sort of theorized in my head, knowing, you know, I didn't play the game, that maybe not being able to, not having all your choices acknowledged at the end was more like a creative decision. Like, it's supposed to help with the overall ambiance of the tapestry of, like, it's a hopeless situation, but it doesn't really work like that.
I can see that being a decision they made. It's not a satisfying one for the player, though.
I think that is much more likely a production decision than a thematic one.
Okay,
whatever. The end of the game does not have a lot of, like, you know, Metal Gear Solid style long discussions about like fate and stuff like that. Like if one of the themes of the games had been fate, then I would understand that. But I mean, the themes have always been about choice. I understand their problem is because, like, for all the bitching I'm doing now, like BioWare had a nigh impossible sort of promise in front, because they're not just wrapping up one game; they're wrapping up 3 games that each of them could act.
Yeah.
Correct completely differently. I think there's like 138 variables
that
at the end of Mass Effect 3 the game could take into account. So I understand their reticence to be like, yeah, let's give a unique ending for every single one of those and to try and boil it down to something a little more manageable production-wise. But at the same time, that's where all this anger's
Herculean task, from. To say the least, to try and make an ending to that. But okay, we're running along on what we've been up to, so we'll take a short break, do a little, hopefully some audio candy here from Charlie. And then we're going to do a really quick Fangamer news and a really fun voicemail that's kind of about Charlie. So stay tuned. Fangamer news. PAX East fast approaches. The crew is in overtime mode, getting stuff prepped. There's been some restocks I thought I would bring up because they're pretty cool stuff. The pipe mugs are back in stock. I think we'll have a couple at PAX, so if you want to pick one up there. Gate keys, still probably tied with one of my favorite products we've done, also really back good. In stock. But yeah, PAX is coming up. If you're going, you should definitely stop by the booth, say hello. Ben, are you working or are you just working the show? Are you there to have a good time?
I'm going to be working the booth.
Do you know your schedule yet so people can come by and say hello?
Not 100%. I'm going to be there Friday, I think, in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday and Sunday at the evening.
Okay. All right, so go by. I won't be there. Say hi to Ben. Say hi to Matt if he's got time to go by the booth. It'll be fun. And then, Anthony, you won't be going to PAX. You'll be like me. Here. Are you going to go PAX Prime?
Yes. Awesome. I always go to PAX Prime.
Love me some PAX Prime. I will be there too. Okay, we have a voicemail. Before I play the voicemail from El Golem, which is probably one of my favorite voicemails to date here.
Better than a Kevin Chai?
No, not. They're different. This is actual, like, kind of like a anecdotal, you know, story. Whereas Kevin Chai's they're on their own thing, you know.
Streaming conscious.
They're on their own.
How I like to call
they're
it.
On their own voice. Yes. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, what your Desert Island video games are for next week, or what are we doing next week? Next week is going to be our April game news, March, because it won't be the end of the month. Talk about some of the stories you thought were interesting this month. Tell us about what you think about the Mass Effect 3 ending, but don't spoil anything, just general feelings. That'd be fine. 503-446-CAST. You can leave us a voicemail there, or send us an email at podcast@fangamer.com. You can attach an MP3 to that if you like as well. So I'm going to play this voicemail from El Golem here, and it's going to be great.
Hey guys, this is El Golem. I wanted to call and share a little bit of a fan gamer story, if you will. I'm not really part of the community. I haven't really posted much in the community, nor I'm kind of a recent person to the community, I guess is a great way to say it. I found out just recently, back whenever I first moved to Bloomington, Indiana, I didn't live far from here, but when I moved here, I started dating this girl named Christina. I come to find, and she was talking about one of her ex-boyfriends who I'd get along with, always talking highly of him, that was, like, loved video games and stuff like that, and his name was Charlie. And so I got curious about this because I kept hearing Charlie on Audio Candy, and I don't remember what episode it was, an older episode. He mentioned growing up in Louisiana, and just like, I wonder if that's him. And I got a hold of him, and sure as heck, me and Charlie have had the same ex-girlfriend. What do you know? Kind of funny. World. Anyways, just felt like sharing a little tidbit. On the upcoming episode that's coming
awesome.
You said that, let's see, you're on Desert Island, you have to pick three video games to take with you, I guess. If I had to pick, I can think of two. I am having a hard time with the third one, but the second one would be, one of them is Persona 4. I know Matt's agreeing with me on that one, probably.
You got that right.
I've played that game at least four or five times in the last 2 or 3 years alone, so it's such a great game. The last one, the first one I would probably pick overall, though, that it just seems like a trope thing to say, but or a typical nerd thing to say, but I would probably take the original Legend of Zelda. I've loved that game to death, and I play it at least once a year, if not more than once a year. There's just something about it, and I know whenever I was in, you know, I was like 5 or 6, and I didn't have to go to school and stuff like that, I would play that game daily and beat it daily. There's just something about that game that just holds dear to my heart just because of the fact that I played it so many times. I guess if I were to have to pick a third game overall, it would probably be Morrowind. I can sit down and start that game and probably play it for the last save file I had about 250 hours logged into it alone. So, but yeah, those are my three games, and I enjoy the show. Keep it up, guys.
Thanks.
It's like my first Pokemon playthroughs. I'd have that many hours.
It doesn't quite match up to your WoW time, does it?
Well, let's not talk about that. I really think it's funny
that... Thank you for the voicemail. That was really good.
I think it's funny that they had the same ex-girlfriend. What are the odds? You know, that's kind of weird. Well, that kind of leads into our show topic of video games for your desert island. We're going to take a real short break, and we're going to get into it. Stay tuned.
Hey there, everyone. My name's Propriety. I just wanted to let you know that if you're going to PAX and you like Pokemon, you should challenge the PAX Pokemon League. All you need is a copy of Pokemon Black or White, your DS, and your favorite team of battle-ready Pokemon. 20 gym leaders will be wandering around PAX. Defeat them to earn their badge and collect 8 badges for the right to challenge the Elite Four and the Champion. For more information, meetup times, leader bios, and information about this year's rival challenge, check out PAXPokemonLeague.net.
Alright. Okay. Desert Island video games. Meaning, if you can only play 3 games and you're stranded on a desert island for, in theory, you know, a super long time, and you have the means to play them, internet, whatever it is you need, what would those 3 games be? Because the people in the forum thread, some people were like, oh, these are like my favorite games, and other people were like, well, I thought about it. My favorite games may not be the best game to play over and over and over again. So let's start with Anthony. What kind of approach did you come to choose your 3 games?
I wanted to get 3 games that would be good for the desert island for 3 different reasons. The first game, do you want me to just go into the
game? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so the first game I thought of was Space Cam. Have you guys played that?
Yeah, heard of it. Yeah.
It is a puzzle game that is basically, it's almost like a really simplistic version of programming, because it's about sort of taking these molecules and creating these self-perpetuating simple systems that combine different atoms to create the molecules you want. It's kind of hard to like explain through words, or at least it is if you're stupid, but like it's just a really, really non-linear kind of game. Like, you get to choose how you want to solve any given problem, but the problems themselves are really, really, really difficult, and it really expands your brain. And I currently haven't beaten it, and I don't think I ever will unless I was in a situation where I had no choice but to only play that game. So I think that would be my first game.
It's funny because other people came to it with that similar approach of, what is a game that is like so hard that I would only want to invest the time then, like Poe Trader. Hers was Demon Souls, because it's such a difficult game. It eats up a lot of time, but even though it's so hard, it still managed to be good, and you know, you have all that time on your hands to play through it. Okay, what's your second one?
My second one is Far Cry 2, because I'm like one of like 3 people in the world who like Far Cry 2, evidently, and you know, the other 2 like worked on the game, I guess. But to me, it's just a really, when you play it in a particular way, with permadeath on and knowing certain things about the systems and the way that the buddy reviving system works, it actually becomes a really, really interesting, almost like roguelike kind of a game of like trying to get all the way through without dying, and knowing that like, oh, these guys that help me up and will, you know, protect me if I die, it's also to my advantage to start killing them off methodically as the game goes on, and sort of trying to see how your own capacity for evil balances against your need for survival. It's really
kind of metagame it in a way.
Yeah, it's a very metagame kind of experience that most people will never do, I think, because it's really stupid in a way. but it's like it's just one of my favorite games for the kind of freedom that it affords you, and just the general shooter, like, just bits of it are really fun and well done.
Adding your own rules to make it a more expandable game.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What about number 3?
I bitched out and just said Minecraft.
It's funny. I just crossed that one off my list. Like, no. Yeah. Don't say
that's
Minecraft.
It's a total cop out, but it just, you know, it's infinitely big, and there's all these kinds of things you can do, and blah, blah, blah.
Why is that a cop out? That seems valid to me.
I don't know. It was just the first thing that came to mind. Just because it's like, you could do pretty much anything in that game given enough time. You know, hypothetically, I could get smart enough that I could make that computer like that one dude made in Minecraft just by using redstone and torches and shit like that.
It's like you can make another game.
But that's like the perfect answer. I don't understand why that's a negative.
It's really like when you go to a job interview and they ask, "Tell me what your weaknesses are." That I'm too awesome, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like those kind of answers. Matt's like, well, but I am too awesome.
Yeah! What?
All right, well, Mr. Awesome, give me, what's one of yours on your list there? Desert Island Games, Matt?
Oh, okay. So I had the same approach as Anthony. I really, really thought about what the games, like the longevity, and, you know, there's one of my favorite games of all time is Rez, but I didn't include it in my list just because, I don't know, it's not something that I would, like, honestly, I've played it to death so often now in society that if I took it to the desert island, it really, you know, be even more redundant and boring. So, first on my list, not to be unoriginal, is Tetris. You know, just...
Really? Yes. Like, which version? The original?
Game Boy version. It just...
So yeah, why Tetris and not any other puzzle game?
Yeah.
Just because I find Tetris infinitely playable. It's so simple, it's so pure, catchy music. It's the closest video game equivalent to chess as far as I'm concerned. You know, just infinite possibilities. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I'm explaining why Tetris is good. I don't even understand what I'm doing. I'm a little confused.
Tetris over other games is
it's Tetris. It's the ultimate, it's the purest, most beautiful, perfect video game of all time. I shouldn't even said this at the first game. That was my, like, wad. I blew it. It's Tetris.
Why the original version, not like the DS version with all like the crazy modes that'll like keep you entertained for longer?
Because that stuff is candy. It's garbage. It's nonsense. I don't need infinite.
But
spin.
Whatever.
Jesus. Also, like, you like Game Boys. Like, what's the problem? I thought you'd be all into this stuff.
I can't believe you're
arguing about it. Oh, I'm hating on your vision. Why choose the one with the least amount of functionality to be expandable?
It's pure! It's perfect!
You want that hit, that refined cocaine-like Tetris experience. God.
What?
Okay, Matt, what's number two?
Yeah, what's number two?
Number two.
Tetris Attack.
It's really good. That soundtrack is awesome. Not to be unoriginal, but Persona 4. It's just, you know, if I'm on a desert island, I will need some semblance of human contact. And what better than having the ultimate video game with the ultimate Scooby gang, my best friends, Chie, Yukiko, Naoto, all the rest. You know, I can... It's not a game that I'll be playing every single day, but I'll probably play once a year to remind myself about society and civilization and curry and school and school functions and TVs and junk like that. And I don't know.
One of your three games you're relegating to only playing once a year.
Everything is in moderation, Ben. That's okay.
True. Except for Tetris. That's all.
Except for Tetris.
Speaking of which,
people
in the chat have some comments on your Tetris choice.
Yes.
Proprietor says, I imagine people playing Tetris on a desert island are guaranteed to go completely nuts.
It'll be the thing that keeps me sane.
I'm on his side. I think that
would... I actually want to go back to Anthony for a second. Propriety in the chat says, and people playing Minecraft on a desert island would be convinced that they were inside the game. Like, why wouldn't you instead just go explore this island?
Maybe it's not that big.
Yeah, when I hear a desert island, I always imagine the Far Side like island that's like as big as I am, and I just
a sandbar.
Not like Lost.
Nothing like that, yeah.
Okay. All right, Matt, number three.
Number three was originally... another game that had been disparaged earlier in this podcast.
Dang.
Being Metal Gear Solid 4.
Disparaged?
I loved Metal Gear Solid 4.
Okay, I don't know.
Do you know this guy?
I thought
Matt, all he heard was hate, and he was like, I don't know.
I know some people hate a lot of Metal Gear Solid 4, but it is one of my favorite games of all time.
It is one of my... I believe firmly it is one of the greatest games of all time, but in the end... slot number three goes to Super Mario Brothers 3.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's a really good game. It's for me, for whatever reason, I find it fundamentally challenging. I haven't mastered it, and I think it's one of those... it's not like mastering Tetris, but like, Super Mario Brothers 3 has always been in my bucket list of games to like really... because you know what? There's a part in the game that I can't get through without having having to cheat and fly in the air with the infinite like flying thing. So like, no, I'm gonna I'm going to sit down. I don't know. It's like there's a million things in Super Mario Brothers 3. And I don't know. It seems like a good... I wanted a platformer. Yeah, and that's the only one that ultimately, when you thought of all the different... Like, I love Gunstar Heroes. I love Yoshi's Island. But at the end of the day, Mario Brothers 3.
Wow. Okay. Before we move on to Ben and myself, let's grab some out of the forum thread here.
Yes.
Let's see. Let's go with Derp676. He starts off with Tropico 4. There's a ton of missions, including a sandbox mode, so you won't get bored quick. Is Tropico 4 the one where you... Is that the one where you're like the head
you're
of Cuba? Like, you're the dictator? Okay.
Yeah.
I always wanted to try that. Second one is Team Fortress 2. There's several people, I think, who said Team Fortress 2. And his last one was Fallout New Vegas. Oh, Fallout's not...
Nice. Good choice.
Fallout's got a lot of content. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just proud that he said Fallout New Vegas and not Fallout 3.
Kevin Chai, Phantom Brave. That's in the Disgaea series, right? Of like the tactics
games. Yeah, one of those tactical RPG games.
That's one of the more hardcore. Yeah. Pew Puyo 20th? I don't know.
Puyo Puyo.
Puyo Puyo.
Puyo
Puyo.
Without too many other games to distract me, I bet I could train hard and become an unstoppable Puyo pro. And it helps to have a game that could possibly be played forever. His last choice, interesting, is a Game Boy camera. I bet the island would be a pretty great place to take photos. Upload them to my daily photo blog.
To take really, really, really low-res photos.
MrGBphotos.tumblr.com. That's for you, Kevin Chai. Oh,
thanks for the plug.
Kevin, don't ever change. That was my personal favorite response. Like, not only did you fulfill the obligations of the challenge, but you got in a cheap plug. That is awesome. By the way, Ben,
I like his honorable mention most of all.
Yeah. Ben, do you have the thread up?
Yeah.
Do you want to read Charlie's?
Yeah, Kevin Chai's... I'll read that, but after Kevin Chai's honorable mention of Little Sound DJ. Because there's no end to the number of jams he could possibly create.
That's
with all
that. That's not a bad idea. A game to create stuff with like that.
Yeah. Kevin, you are a god amongst men. Hey, Garrett, you skipped... did you skip Poe Trader?
I talked about one of hers earlier, but I did skip. Do you want to do her other two?
Yeah. Number one was Tales of Vesperia. She played it with Mato, I guess is another forumite.
A tomato.
And what? Sorry. I'm still the new guy. I don't know.
Tomato?
Don't worry.
Translated Mother 3.
I still don't
listen to this guy. Doesn't know.
I'm the new guy.
Definitely.
Whatever. What was that term you used on your podcast? I'm a snow cat or a snow wolf or a whatever the
we
hell.
Just said it.
Who gives a rat's ass?
Not a snow cat either.
I could easily see myself spending 100 plus hours on this game doing every little thing there is to be done. Demon Souls, which I would assume is going to be a very popular answer, was number two. I guess we talked about that. But also number three is Pokemon White. I need a Pokemon game with me because Pokemon games make me happy. And solitary island life will probably get depressing. I'm almost to the point where I played the original game enough for a lifetime, so White is still pretty new and interesting. And also the best game of after the originals.
A lot of people said Pokemon.
Yeah, it's good.
I did not. Ben, tell us about Charlie's choices.
Charlie's choices. Charlie says Final Fantasy Tactics because he can play it for hours on end forever anyway. And it'll keep his brain stimulated and he can ruminate on the deeper meanings of the plot until help arrives, which I think is very necessary. Dr. Mario, which is a better choice than Tetris, because it's his go-to game when
he's scared. God! You guys don't like Tetris? I don't understand this! Is this Bizarro World?
I don't think anyone
knows!
I didn't say I didn't like Tetris.
Desert Island game?
Oh, Jesus! I thought that'd be like that's the obvious answer, Matt, but no, you guys are arguing. Andrew, you gotta help me out here. Are these people nuts, or is it just me?
So, Dr. Mario, and then Pokemon
Mario,
Black.
Yes.
Good ones, Charlie.
Steve also. I think this is the first time I've ever seen Steve reply to anything that we've ever done with the podcast. So, Steve, I wonder if he'll even listen to us talk about it. He said Skyrim, which actually I didn't see as many in there as I would have thought. Ace Combat 4. I don't think I'll ever get tired of flying around and blowing stuff up. I've never played any of the Ace Combat games.
I wonder if he's played a shooting game.
Okay, and then Earthbound. I'll have a mom to call when I eventually become homesick. Sad.
But no dad still.
No dad.
Call him too. Let's go through the thread here a bit. Actually, no. Here, Ben, it's your turn, buddy.
It's my turn.
What are your three games?
All right. So first of all, I'm going to say The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, which also got a mention from Technomaniac in the thread. Probably because as a child, I don't think I've put more time into a video game and still have not beaten it. Mm. Like, to this day, I've never beaten Link to the Past, and I still think I've played that game more than any other video game. Mm. And I, like, in that game, like, I, maybe as a kid I was just stupid and, like, was just, like, too easily, like, won over by having, like, something resembling an open world. But I was just very content with going around and, like, finding what I can do that didn't involve me dying over and over again to some hard boss that I couldn't beat in that game. So, like, I would spend, like so long just, like, dicking around. It's like, I'm going to go try to get this bottle, or I'm going to find this wand in some dungeon I'm not supposed to be at yet. And, like, that game for me was, like, my infinite exploration game. And I know, like, I probably, if I play it today, it'll come a lot easier and, like, it'll be more straightforward.
Have you played it at all recently?
I have, but not to the degree that I have as a child, anyway. Mm.
Desert Island mode.
I watched the Game Center CX episode of it yesterday.
Okay. What's your number two?
My number two is, I'm going to say, Pump It Up, the dancing game. What? That's
so you get your cardio in.
Clone of DDR. I mean, because I'm sure I'll be short on exercise on a desert island where I have to, like, struggle to
forage to live.
Yeah, but I see it as this. Like, I have an endless supply of, like, fresh-ass K-pop jams. And once I get saved, I will finally be better at Melvin in a dancing game.
Oh.
And that is my number
one. Kind of looking at the desert island as jail, where you go and get buff.
Basically,
and then
yeah.
Come back, take out your captor.
Like, it's like boot camp. Okay. Come back and just be better
I like
than Melvin at everything.
All right, and number three.
Which comes to no surprise... The original Animal Crossing for the Nintendo GameCube.
Okay.
I mean, obviously because that game is touted as an endless game, and it isn't for someone who's played it as much as me, but I still think that that game has the best atmosphere that keeps me wanting to stay in it for longer than, like, a month at a time or so. And, like, it's just simple enough to, like, not be irritating or enslaving. It just has that right atmosphere to, like, make me worry a bit less about getting eaten by some wild animal on this island. Also,
smoke
totally
monsters.
Cheating, because you can get NES games in Animal Crossing, and I can totally play pinball in Wario's Woods and all these other games. I got like 12 games in one.
That's like whose post was like that?
Oh, the last one. Yeah.
From, where did it go? Here we go. From Incoherent Moron, who I give credit for ingenuity, I suppose. These are the games he chose.
Oh.
One, Team Fortress 2. Two, Steam.
That's a game.
Bullshit.
Three, uTorrent. I now have all games.
Yeah,
you won the thread in Coherent Moron.
No, he didn't. Sorry.
there's some other interesting ones on here. Where was it? Butsukoi, he took a different approach of games that would help him survive on the island. So, number one, he chose Man vs. Wild, which apparently has a video game, which I'm kind of interested in.
I guess it'll teach him how to survive an island in that if it was an island made up entirely of QuickTime events and shit.
press down. Okay. He chose The Sims. The purpose of this game is to keep me in touch with society and life I used to know. That's just not a bad idea. I spent a lot of time in the original Sims until I realized this is kind of depressing. That I'm running eight people's lives instead of my own. And this last one, incredibly practical, Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball for Lonely Nights. Those lonely, lonely nights.
Fair enough.
Yeah. He didn't choose the guy game, or what was it? That one porno game for Xbox. He was a little more subtle than that, which is nice. What else in the thread? I thought that was interesting. Actually, Crystal brings up Sin and Punishment Star Successor. She says she's burned so many hours in that game. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. This is like a rails shooter type game, right?
It's a treasure game. The original was on
there. I was thinking that's not a bad idea. Those sort of games that, like, it's a high score chase sort of game. Like Tetris.
Yeah, I think Kid Icarus Uprising would fit pretty well in that mold, too.
Somebody said that, actually, didn't they?
Yeah, it's a very similar game to Sin and Punishment.
Who else had some fun ones on here? There was a Persona 3 from Carbon Dog. Successy
says the Advance Wars series, which is good.
Yeah, a lot of really long, meaty games. A Lobo He had three. It was Revival Egger Island. Have anyone heard of this game? I just bring it up because he always finds a game where I'm like, I haven't even heard of it, like, in passing. Like, I have no idea what that is. Zelda 2 Adventure of Link, which I know is one of his favorite games. And then Electroplankton, because he says it's one of the few games he can play and actually just find incredibly relaxing.
Yeah, so he doesn't go completely crazy. I'm surprised no one mentioned, like, Tokimeki Memorial or, like, Love Plus or some other dating sim.
Yeah, Matt.
I mean, I guess Persona 4 is pretty close.
Persona 4 is my replacement for... I mean, I totally get the whole...
That's what you're telling us, when in all actuality you would bring an actual dating sim.
No, for me, it is a dating sim. I mean, it fills that component. Like, it fulfills a lot of different things in terms of... I like dungeon crawling, I like dating, I like, you know, cross-dressing curry, and a bunch of other things, which Persona 4...
You heard her here first. Matt likes cross-dressing.
By the way, Ben, I was surprised. I was hoping your three would be Animal Crossing for the GameCube, Animal Crossing for the DS, and Animal Crossing for the Wii. I thought that would have been funny, personally. Well.
That was my original list. But
and then he thought about it a little bit. Okay, here's my three. I think I'm going to take Minecraft off here. I feel like that's
why?
Cheap.
Why?
I guess that's cheap.
Because you have an island!
Yeah, I am on an island. I'll just real-life Minecraft. Okay,
follow
so here's
your
my three.
Heart.
in order of least to most awesome, I think, in terms of being on the island. Okay, first one would be Civilization Revolution.
Okay.
Which
version?
I'm not sure which one, because I poured so many hours into that DS version, and they're all pretty much the same game for the Revolution one. So any of them would be fine, but I think the DS one's the one I played the most. I played it on Xbox as well. So I just remember, like, I came back to that game for probably 6-8 months, just every day come in, play a mission or two. I love that game. Second, Final Fantasy Tactics, which people said in the thread. I mean, that is one of the only games where I love to grind and create these incredibly powerful teams that can do ridiculously stupid stuff and break the game and so forth. My last one is actually one of my favorite games. I'm kind of surprised that it did make it on the list, which is Fable 2, because I think it's one of my most favorite games, because I just like that world, and it has just this really good feeling for me, like, when I go into this world, and, like, you see, like, the, you know, you go to Bower Lake, and the pretty music comes on, and then some, you know, some bandits come out, and you gotta slay them, and the music gets tense for a second, you got your dog, so you got a dog in there who can be your friend, and as long as you choose the ending where the dog doesn't get murdered, I'd be okay, and, those were my three.
Instead.
Yeah, everyone else can get murdered. When I played it, I let everyone else live, and then when you continue doing the DLC, your dog is dead the whole time. Wow, what a downer. Like, just in your face every time. Oh, this is the part of the DLC where you get this sweet potion that could change your dog's color. Oh, my dog's dead. My snow dog can't be a snow dog.
So it's Old Yeller, basically.
He's a dirt dog.
Oh, sad face. Okay.
Dirt dog is the opposite.
All right, and Matt, no, I'm not. Tetris is a good choice. It's okay. I just, you know. I thought of all the choices. I was not expecting that from you.
Well, am I not here to create conversation
and controversy?
Exactly, because controversy sells something. Anyways.
Yeah, t-shirts.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up here. We'll give over the final words to Kevin, and then we'll close out the show. Stay tuned.
I'm Kevin Williams, the godfather of the podcast. I ain't no hero, and I might be patient zero. And this is my final word. I'm not gonna lie to you, kids. I got a lot of insight on this desert island thing, because I've been laid up with the zombie flu all weekend. The way I figure is, it's a lot like the jungle sickness you'd succumb to eventually on your little desert island. But before you go, you'd get to see some pretty wild fever dreams. A lot of you mentioned Team Fortress 2. Well, how about Team Fortress 2, but with GoldenEye levels, like the Temple, and using perfect dark weapons like the K7 Avenger? And here's the great thing, I wasn't just hallucinating the environment, oh no, I got a taste of the voice chat. We had a guy yelling over the mic about how cheap it was to get the kills by shooting people in the face. Body shots or nothing. It was just like the real TF2 in that respect. Then it was off to deep space for some Mass Effect. Except I found the aging slider on the custom character screen, and my Commander Shepard was a grizzled veteran with wild eyes and big white whiskers. Oh, he'd seen space before, man. He'd seen it. War never changes. Space war doubly so. I don't think he was considered particularly diplomatic, but who cares? Old guy with an assault rifle. That's a game I want to play. Then the dream waveform started collapsing, and everything got jumbled up. Solid Snake was playing Mario Party with Crash Bandicoot, and Bubsy the Bobcat and the Domino's Noid were fighting with Wario and the girl from Mirror's Edge over the sword from Crystalis. And is that the eponymous possum from Rocket Knight flying a mission for the UN squadron? Look out, Lost Vikings! Dr. Tongue and Dr. Wily are dropping smart bombs on the World Heritage Sites from Illusion of Gaia. Oh, it's like every game I've ever played is coming together in one fantastic, nearly indescribable scene. And every character I've ever played as or fought against is in on the battle. Except for you, Cecil. Paladins aren't cool enough for this dream. Well, just as it was getting interesting, that's when I woke up again, with both of my nostrils clogged up. So now I'm gonna drink some hot lemon relief and try to get well again in time for PAX East. I'm gonna do my best to be non-infectious by then, but no promises. For Fangamer, I'm Kevin Williams.
Alright, let's close the show out. It's been a long and interesting journey, a Tetris journey. First, let's thank Anthony for being on the show with us. Thanks for being
on,
buddy.
Thank you for having me.
Yay!
If people wanted to, like, I don't know, follow you on Twitter, what would they do that at?
Reverend Anthony.
And then if, like, you know, they want to check out other cool stuff you're doing, what, go buy Borderlands 2 when that comes out.
Yeah. You can just, heyash.com has all the info. And
that's all the good stuff. Okay. Yeah. At some point, we'll have to have you and the rest of the crew on for some sort of hubbub episode in the future. That'll be fun. Let's see, what else? Any other kind of... Next week's show, we're going to do April game news wrap. Not April. March. All the game news that you probably already know about, curated by us and discussed at length. Oh, it'll be so much fun. But one thing I do want to say is I have the thread already prepped on my laptop downstairs, ready to go, is Mass Effect Game Club will be starting the week after that. So, Ben... You got a copy of that game yet?
Oh, I said so last week.
Good. Yep. You didn't sell it in
between.
Wait,
but the week, I figured the week after was going to be post-PAX wrap-up.
Oh, it might be. I might have to double-check the schedule, which makes more sense.
I figured that the week afterwards we were going to start Mass Effect. So
it might be 2 weeks. It might be 1 week from now. But either way, I'll be putting the thread up very soon, and so you should start playing. That's what I'm saying.
By the way, can I make a quick announcement? I don't know if it's applicable by the time people listen to this, but right now, Mass Effect on Amazon for download, $6.
Ooh, it's not bad.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
You know, Game Club.
So yeah, that'll be exciting. And we're going to have a guest for that Game Club as well from Far From Subtle. Video games, awesome video games. Fraser Agar will be on there. They're actually doing a live playthrough of that on Twitch TV over the last couple weeks, so I think he'll probably be done by the time we start, but that's okay. It'll be fresh in his mind, so that'll be fun. So thank you everyone for listening. We will see you next week. Adios.
Later.
yeah, maybe you could just be an Anthony interview. Nothing to do with that Hey Ash thing. What are you about, Anthony? How are you doing?
Oh, God. I was told I was to talk about desert islands and games.
Oh, no. My notes. I'm not prepared.
Anthony, what you playing?
Never do that again, Ben.
Definitely not Snow Dogs. That's what I would hear.
No. Oh, is that caught on at all?
Cool, I've listened to your guys' podcasts, and I've heard Ben say it, like, maybe once. I see it on Twitter a lot.
I still say it sometimes.
Yeah, but I say it sometimes, and no one else.
Yeah, it is caught on amongst the apartment that I live in.
What does Snow Dogs mean exactly?
If you have to ask, you're not Snow Dogs.
It means, yeah.